Hear God's word, 1 Kings 18, verse 1. After many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, and when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them in 50s in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the springs of water and to all the valleys. Perhaps we may find grass and save the horses and mules alive and not lose some of the animals." So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went in one direction by himself, and Obadiah went in another direction by himself. And as Obadiah was on the way, behold, Elijah met him. And Obadiah recognized him and fell on his face and said, "Is it you, my lord Elijah?" And he answered him, "It is I. Go tell your lord, behold, Elijah is here." And he said, "How have I sinned that you would give your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my Lord has not sent to seek you. And when they would say he is not here, he would take an oath of the kingdom or nation that they had not found you. And now you say, 'Go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here.' And as soon as I have gone from you, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you, I know not where. And so when I come and tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me, although I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Has it not been told my Lord that I did what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50s in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now you say, 'Go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he will kill me.' And Elijah said, 'As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today.' So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah." This is the word of the living God. Beloved in the Lord, in this passage, we come to the place where Elijah returns to Israel and to King Ahab. Why does Elijah return to present himself to Ahab? Well, the fact of the matter is that he comes to bring back the word of the Lord to Ahab and to Israel, because Elijah was the one who carried with him the word of the living God. He would return the blessing to a land that was parched from no water. This passage refers to that fact of no water. It refers to how Ahab and his servant Obadiah went looking throughout the land for water for the horses. What a fruitless task it was, because they were under a curse. But Elijah's first appearance brought that curse. Remember, he came, as chapter 17 says, and he tells them there will be no rain, and there was no rain. But now he says to Obadiah, "I am coming back. Tell your servant, tell King Ahab that I am returning." And he is returning in order to bring with him the blessing of God through the unchangeable word of the living God. And through his coming back to King Ahab, he would demonstrate to Ahab and to Israel that the word of the Lord is sovereign, sovereign in the life of his people. And God's word always does something to the people of God. It affects them. They must do something with it. In the case of Ahab, the word of God came to someone who was cold-hearted, hard-hearted, who hated God's word, who despised God's word, even before he met Elijah. But God still brings that word of the Lord to King Ahab, and he announces the word of the Lord to the king of Israel. Ahab, who knew the blessing of God revealed by Moses, but the only way for the land to be blessed would have been for Ahab to not only read the word of God, but to obey the word of God. Does he do that? No. He, as the story that we've just read tells us, speaks to his servant Obadiah, and he says, we've got to find water. We've got to go out and save who? The animals, the mules, the horses. Do you see in this passage, as it tells about King Ahab and Obadiah, the king himself supervises the search for food and water. Why is this happening? It's because his property is at stake. His glory is at stake. Not any sympathy for his people. His animals might die. His wealth would be jeopardized. And he relied upon his own might, not the word of God. He didn't rely upon the grace of God. He didn't rely upon the word of God, who could have easily provided rain as his gift. No, Ahab refused to bow before the Lord. He would rather live under judgment than live in obedience to the God of the covenant. And so Ahab splits the task with Obadiah. You go that way, I'll go this way. We'll see if we can find some water for the animals. Ahab and Israel had eliminated God from the picture. It was God who brought the drought in response to the unbelief of the people of God. You could go back in Scripture to Deuteronomy chapter 28. You can read verses 1 through 4, verse 12, 15, 16, 18. Read the whole chapter of Deuteronomy 28. All of that which is said in Deuteronomy 28 speaks of the glory and the power of God and of his special revelation and of his gifts of grace. And if you obey the word of the Lord, you would be blessed. But Ahab did not obey the word of the Lord. There's no indication in these opening verses that Ahab had any intention of turning from his sin and seeking the Lord. But in God's time, it tells us that he said to Elijah, go back to King Ahab. Elijah is going to give notice to the king. And the Lord had commanded it. The Lord had plotted it out. The Lord was going to show Ahab, who had sovereign power and majesty. And God's word would demonstrate the impotence, the powerlessness of Ahab, because God says, and I will send rain upon the earth. Ahab was looking everywhere for water, except to the God who can and would send rain upon the earth. And God would reopen this wound and bring healing to his sinful people by the word of the Lord through the prophet Elijah. God brings this conflict between the two kingdoms into the open. Unbelief in terms of Ahab is contrasted with the faith of Elijah. The question of why the rain stopped still had to be answered. Still had to be answered as the word of the Lord again comes to the people. And the issue is this: will Israel follow God alone? That's what the word of the Lord was asking. God's word would be the blessing, the word of grace, even to the fallen remnant of God's people. Israel failed to obey the Lord. Israel was in that struggle between the two kingdoms. It seemed as though the Antichrist had won. and that there was victory over God's people until the Lord said to Elijah, "Go, and I will send rain upon the earth," because he's going to come by grace and he's going to restore his kingdom. He's going to bring a blessing to his people and he's going to destroy the enemy. He saves a people for no other reason than his pure, sovereign grace. And there is no monopoly on the hard-heartedness towards God. There's no shortage of Ahabs, even in our time. There are those who hear God's word and don't obey it. There are those who reject God's word, even today, and continue to fail to do what God has commanded. And many think of God's word as something of even a myth. Strangely so, I find that even among some who write things about God's word. We call them commentators. I don't know if that's anything with potatoes or not, but commentators, commenting on the Word of God. And as I read some commentators on the Word of God, they refer to God's Word many times as though it were a myth. Even those who are professionally speaking, those who are writing about God's Word, declare it to be something other than what it truly is. Elijah proclaimed the truth of the Word of God. And that truth is the truth that God is sovereign. He alone is on the throne. The Lord is the one who will demonstrate his power and glory. And the Lord is the one who will demonstrate that he alone is God. And God's word must be applied to our lives as well as to the lives of the people of Israel. God's word will put you on one side or the other in this battle between the two kingdoms. God's word will open the wounds of sin in our hearts, and he will heal it by grace. He will heal the covenant defilement. He will remove it. He will take the covenant breaking that we have done, and he will bring forgiveness. And what Elijah announces is anchored ultimately in the word and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, because he is the faithful word of the living God. And the blessing is certain in the lives of God's people, even today, because the word of God is the unshakable foundation that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's word still does something to his people. It brings them the promise of security. It brings them the hope of life. It brings them forgiveness. Unbelief and stubbornness cannot be stronger than the word and the will of God. And God's sovereign work of redemption ultimately accomplishes his purpose in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Elijah comes back with the word of God to the people of God to demonstrate the power of God, the sovereignty of God, and to demonstrate that he alone is Lord over all. And the Lord's word calls his people to serve him and to serve his kingdom. He puts his people to work. He calls them to obedience. He called Obadiah to obedience. Notice in the passage that we've read, Obadiah cared for 100 prophets. I always think of that in terms of what had been happening. There was this complete drought all through the land. But what does Obadiah provide for 100 prophets? Food and water. Wonder where that water came from or was found. Was it providentially provided? I don't know. But the Lord used Obadiah to provide what no one else could find. The king was going that way. Obadiah went that way. And yet in God's providence and power, Obadiah was able to provide food and water for 100 of the servants of the living God, 100 prophets. Elijah commands Obadiah to go to what Obadiah thought would be a suicide mission. Notice that Obadiah said that, I think, almost three times. You're telling me to go to Ahab? Here's what Ahab did. He sent over here, and he took an oath of these nations that they said, you know, there's no prophet Elijah here. You know, Elijah was the number one guy on Ahab's hit list. And he went everywhere to find him, and he couldn't find him. And you're telling me just to walk up to King Ahab and say, Elijah's back. You almost want to hear his words, are you out of your mind? That's what he's saying. This is a suicide mission. He's going to announce that Elijah is back. But because Elijah is back, the word of the Lord has returned. Because Elijah is back, Ahab would have nothing to do or say about it. God was dictating the terms of this confrontation. Even Obadiah was called to announce that the word of God was returning to Israel. And he faltered when he was sent back to the front lines. He faltered before the word of the Lord. He had false fears. He had a lack of faith in the word of the Lord through Elijah, so much so that it came to the point where Elijah said, I stand before the Lord of hosts. And he assured Obadiah that he would go and see Ahab. In other words, he was not sent on a suicide mission. He was guaranteed that Elijah was going to return. Obadiah was fearful to be completely submissive to the word of God. He was faint-hearted, although he was faithful, and yet the Lord used him mightily. And he uses us as well. He uses you and me, and we are faint-hearted many times. We might be faithful, but we are never at that point where we let go and surrender completely to the word of God. But God wants us to remember that his word is the sovereign word of the sovereign God. And remember, in that word, it says that the God who sends us is the God who will not let one hair fall from your head. Jesus said, without what? Without the will of my heavenly Father. He's in charge of everything. Sovereign over all. And the word of the Lord gives the people of God a job to do in the world in which they live. Many believers today are like Obadiah. We want the Lord to accomplish his work without us. Oh, it'll get done. We want to sit on the sidelines and cheer. Yay, the church is growing. But we don't want to be involved. Anything but personal, costly involvement. But God wants us to be involved. What does Scripture say? Take up the cross. That's what the Scripture says. Become a disciple. And he addresses his people as disciples to repudiate your half-heartedness and follow him. To be witnesses. Acts 1 verse 8. You shall be my witnesses. The church individually, corporately, charged with the Great Commission, called to the front lines. And though our faith may sometimes falter, our witness bearing might be risky to us, even sometimes causing our death, but he calls us to serve him. Obedience to the word of God is what Christ has commanded for us. And we see also in this passage that the word of the Lord provides the believer with the amazing assurance of God's love and his protection over his people. What did God do for the servant Obadiah? He was given amazing assurances of God's power. Elijah assures faithful Obadiah that the word of the Lord is true. He gives an oath in the name of the supremely powerful, sovereign Lord of hosts. This name drew on all created powers in heaven and on earth, subjecting them to the greatness and the power of God that Elijah was called to serve. The Lord of hosts, omnipotent, sovereign over all of creation. What more assurance could you want than to know that the sovereign Lord, the King of all, is going to prove his point and is going to carry out his will through his word. Elijah speaks of the word of the Lord to assure Obadiah of God's royal purposes, that God will defeat his enemy, that God will protect his people, that God will establish his kingdom. Uttering the name of Jehovah of hosts was sufficient to have Obadiah take his eyes off of what? Ahab. To melt his fear and to gaze by faith upon the gloriousness of God. And like Elisha, he too could say, those that are with us are what? Greater than those that are with them. In other words, the Lord is with us. That's the assurance we need today. God's children today have great assurances of God's love and protection. What does Scripture say? Lo, I am with you always. The church must find firm ground in the vision of the greatness and the power of our faithful Lord, who has given us that promise to contemplate the Lord of hosts and to know that he is with us always. He's with us in the front lines of the battle. He's with us every day. And if God's word is sovereign in your life, there will be extraordinary requests and commands for you to follow. And yet, like Obadiah, even though your faith may falter, you will be able to obey. And each and every day on the front lines of the battle, seek the sovereign word of the Lord to bring you comfort, assurance, and love so that you might obey and walk in faith before a sovereign God whose word never, ever fails. Rest in that word today. Amen.